Stand to your feet. Let's read a few verses. This is our 45th message out of the Gospel of Mark through the first seven. This will bring chapter 7 to a close. 45 messages, Brother Jack, into the book, halfway through the book and the Gospel according to Mark. And I want you to listen today. I'm going to deal with, I think, a very, very important subject. I preach from this text, and I almost went back to the message I preached several years ago. You'll find the phrase that we'll read in verse number 37. I preach a message on astonished beyond measure. And they were, and this text magnifies the way that people saw what Christ did, how it stirred them and how it moved them by watching the power of Christ be done. And I thought about just breaking out that message. And yet, the more I labored and prayed this week over this text, it seemed like the Lord opened up another dimension of this text and this passage. And it's not one. I've read commentaries. I've listened to preachers for several weeks now on this. I've not heard anyone deal with this passage the way that I'm going to deal with it. In fact, most of them, I'll show you in just a little bit, they skip over a certain section that's in here. And I think it's very important. And the Lord just kind of put it on my heart in a fresh way to be able to preach this to you today. And so, amen, get in on it where you can. Buckle your seatbelt where you have to. And let's see if the Lord will give us some help this morning. The Bible said, and again, departing, verse 31, from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came on the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. They bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. They beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. Straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. Verse 36 is where we lift our thought from here in just a little while. The Bible said, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. We want to preach to you from these verses. Let me kind of lead you into the thought this morning. Amen. If I give you my thought right now, you'll check out on me. You won't be interested, but you need to stay with me. All right, be seated. Heavenly Father, please help us. Give us, Lord, unction and power, clarity of thought and mind and speech. Lord, take us beyond our own abilities. Lord, I pray this morning that, Lord, even greater than the desires of our heart, may the desires of your heart be accomplished, Lord, over the next several moments in our time around the Word of God together. May the Spirit of the Lord have liberty and right away to work in every heart. Lord, in every life, in every thought, and Lord, every mind that is here today, may it be bowed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray this morning that, Lord, we would leave here today being right with God to the best of our ability and the best of our knowledge. Lord, any area, Lord, when we have stoved up, Lord, I pray that, Lord, the Spirit of the Lord would be able, Lord, to charge us in that matter one more time, and may we be responsive. Lord, may we be, Lord, sensitive, Lord, to his leading in our life. And Lord, I pray, may all the glory and the honor go to the Lord Jesus, that soul that is here, souls that are here today that are lost and undone. I pray the Spirit of the Lord would bring conviction to them. May they understand there's only one who can open their spiritual ear. There's only one who can loose their spiritual tongue. Lord, there's only one, Lord, that can do all things well in their life in saving them from sin and hell. Lord, I pray they'd realize that today and come to the Savior by faith, repenting of their sin, and be gloriously saved this morning in this service. And for all that you do, we'll bless and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let me lay out a little groundwork and we'll get our thought in a moment. The account in this text, it takes place, and even verse 31 alludes to this, after that Christ had spent approximately 6 months in that Gentile region known as Tyre and Sidon. We preached from that 2 Sundays ago, the Syrophoenician woman who came on behalf of her daughter who is vexed with the devil, beseeching the Lord that the Lord would deal with that evil spirit that had entered into her home. Christ had spent 6 months, if you study the background, approximately 6 months in Tyre and Sidon, ministering, no doubt preaching and doing other miracles in that region. And now here in these verses, Christ is going, you'll remember that Tyre and Sidon, the coast of Tyre and Sidon was in the most northwesterly part of the region of Israel. And now here, Christ is going to travel in an easterly direction to this place known as the region of Decapolis, Deca meaning 10, Polis, or Polis meaning cities, the place of 10 cities. And this would be another Gentile region of 10 Roman cities that Christ had ministered in thus far, or ministered to people who was from this place. In fact, one of the most well-known places in that region of 10 cities took place in that region, or that place known as Gadara. In Gadara, you remember there was what we call a maniac man, a man possessed with a legion of devils, and how the Lord had gone there for that man passing over the Sea of Galilee and had rid him of that legion of devils in his life. And a man who was in bondage, and a man who was plagued with sin, and a man that other men had thought hopeless and had given up on, the Lord Jesus brought redemption to that man, salvation to his life, and put him in his right mind, put some clothes on him, broke the chains off of him, and thank God changed him for time and eternity. The Lord, upon healing that man and dealing with that man's spiritual condition, charged him that he would then go and tell all his family and all his kindred and all that would listen what great things Christ had done for him. And the Bible said he published it greatly, and he went and he did exactly what the Lord had told him to do. And so this region is acquainted with the life and the ministry and the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. They, being Gentiles, Christ was interested in them all the same. Amen. He came, John said in John 1, unto his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even of them that believed on his name. And so the gospel came to the Jew first, not the Jew only, but thank God it came to the Gentiles, the Greeks and the barbarians, the pagans and the heathens that were alienated from the covenant of God in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ, he loves the world, and we thank God for that. Here Mark records a single specific miracle, that took place in this region of Decapolis. We're not told which city it was in, but it was in one of these 10 cities that represented or made up Decapolis. You'll find that there were many miracles done upon Christ's entrance to this region, following his exit from Tyre and Sidon, traveling all the way across the northerly part of Israel and then entering into this place. In fact, Matthew 15, this section of verses, Matthew 15, verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence at his Tyre and Sidon, came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Verse 31, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. And so we're not told how many miracles the Lord did. We're simply told there were multitudes, plural. There were crowds, different crowds coming from all sorts of directions, likely from each of these 10 places, making up the capitalists, and they would throw them down, these that had names, at the feet of Christ. And Christ, by the power of God, would heal them. And in every miracle, there is a glorifying of the Savior, amen, and the God of Israel. And so God in Christ is doing a magnificent work in this region. And yet, though we're told there were multitudes and no doubt many different miracles, we have in Mark's account of the Lord's entrance there, the record of one specific single miracle. This being the one recorded miracle at this time of Christ's ministry indicates the importance of what I believe we can learn from this. And may I say, there is much to be learned from the verses that I read to you this morning. I believe we can learn about salvation. And you say, well, preacher, is there salvation? I believe every physical miracle the Lord ever did, making the maimed to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. Amen. Then all of that was a representation of what Christ and Christ alone could do for the spiritual ailments and sicknesses and handicaps that we have because of sin in our inner man. And so this miracle testifies as every miracle of the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ in the lives of sinners. You see, the testimony of Christ by the people following the healing of this man and this particular man, he has two separate ailments that are joined into one. This is a deaf man that is unable to hear and a dumb man. And that doesn't mean that he's ignorant or that he's without knowledge. Dumb meaning he has an inability to speak. And so he cannot hear and he cannot talk. And this man is going to be miraculously healed by the Lord. And following that, here's the testimony that is given in verse number 37. Here's what they said. He, speaking of Christ, have done all things well. What a statement and what a testimony that can be attributed to Christ even in this generation, all the way down to this very Lord's Day morning service. And we that are saved, and watch Christ save others, of that, my friend, we can testify the Lord hath done all things well. This statement reveals that what Christ had done for this man and those that brought him to Jesus, that it was right. He had done all things well, meaning it was right, it was suitable, and it was proper. It really is a statement that at what Christ done for them, it was perfectly accomplished. He hath done all things well. And I remind you today in salvation that Brother Jeremy, Christ had done all things well. Amen. He perfectly accomplishes that in sinners' lives one by one, where we can say, amen, he hath done all things well. He done me right. Amen. His salvation is suitable for my need. Amen. When I cannot open my own ears and I cannot open my own tongue, when I cannot find a way in medicine and let me down, in doctors and let me down, and society cannot improve my condition, I found in the Savior a salvation. I found a cure for the ailment of my soul. Amen. And now I can say that salvation is suitable in my life, and that has been perfectly accomplished. And I remind you today that when Christ does a work in a sinner's life, amen, it is a work that is done very well. Everything that Christ has done throughout these verses, beginning in verse 31, down to the ultimate healing of him in verse number 35, everything that Christ has done, it can be said, had Christ done it well, I would say this morning by way of introduction, that Christ located this man well. He located him well. Hey man, he has been for 6 months on the entire other portion and border of the nation of Israel. He's been ministering to other Gentiles in another foreign land among other pagans that needed him and his message and his ministry and the gospel message of salvation. But now all of a sudden the Lord is compelled to leave the coast of Tyre and of Sidon and to travel one by one through the Israelite villages. And he comes to the Sea of Galilee. He sails across the midst of the Sea of Galilee. And there he lands upon this region of Decapolis. And of all the recorded miracles, this is the one that is recorded. And like Mark is saying, this is why he came. This is why he arrived in this place. We're not told this man's name. We're not even told which of the 10 cities this man is from. We don't know his parents. We don't know his family heritage. We don't know his financial status. But this much we know is that Christ knew where this man was, and he located him very, very well. And I remind you, my friend of the day, how Christ located your life. Hey man, I didn't know where you were. I may not have known your address. Hey man, I may not have known all your condition. But ain't you glad for the day Christ intersected with your life? Hey man, he found you. He located you well. Hey man, to the point that we can say it's even a miracle that he even showed up. It's a miracle that anybody could have found me. Hey man, but the Savior located us very well. Amen. Some maybe would say, well, are they just a bunch of Gentile hillbillies? And they ain't even worth spending any time on. And that ain't what Christ thought. Christ said, I must needs go. Amen. To that region of Decapolis. No, there's a man that needs him. There are souls that are there. Amen. And when they testify of Christ, he had done all things well. I think we can say, thank God he located him well. I don't know where you were when God found you. Amen. But I know this. Amen. It is amazing to my mind and to my heart and to my very own life. The lengths that Christ will go and the distance he'll travel. Amen. The muck and the mire that he'll wander through. Amen. To locate and to find those souls that are lost. Amen. You see, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. He's in the business of locating and finding lost sinners. Amen. Do you remember? Have you forgotten where you were when the Lord located you? Amen. You ain't always been in a Baptist church. Amen. Some of you didn't have a choice. You have always been in a Baptist church, but you ain't always been saved. Amen. Thank God, whether it's in a pool or a pool hall. Amen. The Lord's in the business, amen, of locating sinners. And when all is said and done, and salvation's miracle has been performed, we look back and we say, thank God he located me well. Amen. Let me say number two, Christ not only located this man well, Christ loved this man well. The Bible said upon entering there, they, verse 32, bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. This man is a handicap. This man has limitations. This man, he doesn't have a whole lot to offer. And yet there are people evidently that love him in his life. There are men that think enough about him that word is spread. We can get him to the Messiah. We can get him to the miracle worker. We can bring him to the Savior Jesus. If anybody can do anything for this man, they loved him by bringing him to Jesus. When they bring him, I'm thankful we see that Christ loved him well and that Christ did not allow the limitations of this man, the handicaps of this man, of the things that even society in that day would have looked down upon this man because he was not whole. He had issues and baggage in his life. But the Savior loved him and loved him as much and more than even those that brought him to Christ. You see, the Bible said he took him aside from the multitude. Now they're alone. Christ loves him to the point he's not ashamed to be seen with him. Amen. But he's loving him in the condition that he's in. He put his finger in his ears and spit and touched his tongue. And I understand that that maybe seems a little vulgar. It maybe seems a little odd and a little strange. But literally what Christ is doing, Christ is entering into identification with this man's need. Now I remind you today that in salvation's plan, our Savior had done all things well. My friend, when I think about Him saving me, when I think about all that that entails, I want to say today, Christ loved me well. Amen. Nobody ever loved me like Jesus did. Amen. Thank God He wasn't ashamed to come to where I was. He wasn't ashamed, my friend, to put His hands on me. He wasn't ashamed, my friend, to be alone with me. He didn't have no phobias. He didn't have no reservations. Thank God He just loved me and He loved me to Himself. Amen. Ain't you glad this morning that our Savior loves sinners well? Ain't nobody ever loved you like Jesus did. Amen. They ain't, no, you ain't ever had a friend love you like Jesus has. You ain't, my friend, had a family member love you like Jesus does. Amen. Nobody loves you as well as the Savior. Amen. Somebody said, boy, I got some friends in this world. Amen. You listen to me and listen to me well. Amen. Jesus said the world. Amen. The world even hates its own. Amen. They only be good to you and run around with you because, amen, maybe of some sort of thing, but you let an ailment come to you. Amen. You let the props be kicked out from under your life. I'm telling you, the world will stab you in the back and your friends will leave you high and dry. And I'm glad I can preach to one, about one today. Amen. Who is sticking closer than any brother. Amen. One that loves us well. Christ loved this man well. Y'all hang on, I'm going somewhere. Let me say number three, introduction, all right? Point number three for introduction. I'm talking about He had done all things well. Has He done you well today? In salvation, has He not done all things well? Say this morning, Christ located and loved this man well, but verse 34 and 35, Christ loosed this man well. He came to him and looked to heaven and drew strength from his father and sighing with compassion. Made the statement Ephphatha, that is in the Aramaic, that is be open. And the Bible said that when Christ pronounced that commandment, that when Christ gave the word to be open, that straightway his ears were open and the string of his tongue was loosed. And he spake plain. In other words, the Lord loosed him from what had him bound. And I'm going to tell you that's what salvation is. Amen. That's what salvation does. Amen. And I'm telling you, religion cannot do that. And more rules placed upon you will not do that. And being good and better today than you were yesterday, amen, will never loose you from what you are and what sin has died. Amen, but I'm telling you today, amen, if you ever come to truly do business with God, amen, if you ever truly come to Christ, amen, when He saves you, you'll be able to say, He done all things well. When I couldn't loose myself, when I couldn't break the chain, when I couldn't open up the better way, and when I could not enter into the kingdom of God, and God, He opened the way and He loosened me from all that I was. Thank God. You say, oh, you preaching that. If you're saved, your life is changed. You better believe I am. Amen. There's no such thing as being saved and still being slave to sin. That's right. Amen. When you get saved, you'll get loose from that. Amen. Listen. Amen. He'll loose you from sin. He'll loose you from the road to hell. He'll loosen you and open up a way for you to get off the broad way and enter in through the straight gate and live your life in the narrow way. Amen. He'll loose you from the things that have an attachment to your life. He'll loosen you from the god of this world and the world system. Where you'll be able to say, I may still be in it, but through and by the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation, I am no longer of this world. When I think about that, and you just got to know where I was. Amen. I grew up in churches like this and around this all my life. Amen. All I've ever known is Independent Fundamental Baptist, King James Bible, Thumphead. Amen. Judgment or temperamental and fundamental. Amen. In every way, this is all I've ever known, Sister Debbie. But in my life, I was born in and of this world. I had an attachment to it. I cared what they thought. I cared how they viewed me. I didn't want them to think bad of me or look down on me or snicker at me. Amen. But you know something glorious happened when the Lord saved me. He loosened me from all those thoughts. Amen. He loosened me. I couldn't do that of myself. My mom and daddy and all their rules and the regulations and their standards said, that they placed upon my life, they could not bring a loosening and a change in my life. At best, all I could do on the outside was conform. But when God saved me, woo, hallelujah. When the Lord came back, amen, when my life run headlong into the Savior, amen, He had done all things well. I'm not the man I used to be. I don't have the same desires. I don't have the same longings. I'm not walking in the same direction. Amen, Christ had done all things well when He loosened me. That's what they said. He hath done all things well.
Amen.
I imagine we could draw other truths out this morning. How many of y'all, amen, you can lift your hand if you want to or don't. Amen, if you don't know, don't lift it. But how many of y'all are thankful you're saved?
Amen.
How many of y'all can lift the other hand, both of them at the same time and say, I'm glad I can testify how Jesus done all things well when He saved me. He didn't do you wrong. He never has and He never will. He always does what is right. He always leads in a perfect righteous path. It is His will to accomplish that He deems well in your life. Now here's where I want to get to this morning. Amen. Now you probably lost the opportunity to shout. Amen. It was all in that part of the introduction. Watch this. We come now and we could preach on the miracle we have, and we could and we will, I'm sure, in days to come. But notice with me in verse number 36, here's what I want you to understand. That with the miracle came a message.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
He hath done all things well. That was true. Even before they declared it and testified with their own lips, it was so that all that Christ had done and the miracle that He had performed, it was all well. But with the miracle came a message in which the Bible said in verse 36, He charged them.
Amen.
Amen. This word charged, it means literally a command or to give an order. It means to enjoin one to an instruction. It means the Lord took this man and those that brought him there and He gave them an instruction and took their life and their testimony, what he had just done in them, and he enjoined them to instruction. Now the particular instruction is, don't tell nobody what I've done for him. This word charged, it reveals the clear, direct, and personal word that Christ gave to this man and his crowd. Yes, sir. There is no gray area.
Amen.
There's no head scratching. What did he say? What does it mean? The instruction is clear, black and white. Don't tell anyone what I've done.
Amen.
Christ had done them well. Christ had done the man well. Christ had done his friends or his family, his associates, his compadres, his companions. He had done them well. And now the expectation is for them to simply follow the instruction of His Word. Now you listen to what I'm getting ready to say. He had done all things well in salvation. When we think about that, it blows our mind to the point that we wonder, how in the world can I ever repay Him for all that He's done well in my life? He's done it well in salvation. He's done it well since I've been saved. How in the world do I repay Him for what He's done? We'll tell you how you do. It's the expectation Christ gave. Just follow the instructions that I have given.
Amen.
Christ had done them well. You see, though Christ had miraculously opened this man's ears, is that not the miracle? He's opened his ears. For the first time, it would appear, for the first time that this man, though he'd been born deaf, for the first time, Brother Jack, this man is able to hear something. And the first voice that he ever heard, that he ever truly heard, the first words that he ever understood, came from the lips of the darling Son of God when he said, "Ephatha," and miraculously opened his ears.
Amen.
Christ did this miraculous thing of opening the man's ears, and yet this man, we read in verse number 36, is inclined to refuse to listen to the charge that Christ put upon his life.
Right.
Christ said, don't tell nobody. Mark said, they began so much the more a great deal to publish it.
Amen.
This man and his company were doing wrong to the one who had done them well. Can I preach on that for just a moment this morning? Doing wrong to the one that done you well. Every saved person in here this morning, you've had a smile on your face through the introduction. And some of you was raising your hands. I heard, amen, I heard a few amens and hallelujahs and praise the Lord. Amen, I've seen several this morning as we had you raise your hand, you had both hands in the air. Amen, saying, yes, He hath done all things well. Here's what I want to ask you today. You ain't doing Him wrong that He's done you well, are you? Buddy, I'm telling you, it's a serious, serious matter that when Christ saved us, He saved us no longer to live according to how we want to live and the dictates of the world, the commandments and the influences that are on the outside. Amen. When He saved us, He saved us. And we would live a life to just simply walk in the instruction that we're given from His Word. And when we do not do that, Brother Bryson, we are doing wrong to the one we all just said done us well. Y'all put your seatbelt on. I want to show you three things in the text this morning about doing wrong to the one who's done you well. I owe him my life. And if you're saved, you owe him your life. You owe him your following. Brother Tim used the word loyalty and commitment this morning. Is amazing. It was amazing. In fact, I looked at Miss Kate. I said, "Dear Lord," as he is teaching this morning over and over. He talked about obedience and commitment and faithfulness and loyalty. And over, and I don't know how many times, Brother David, he used the word obedience or obey. I knew what I was preaching. Thought, oh my soul. And I say to you this morning that there are some things involved, amen, that I think enlarge upon this idea to warn us about the matter of doing wrong to the Savior, to the Christ, to the Lord who had done all things well in our life. Let me say number one, I see in this text the inclination of rebellion. Amen. Now y'all don't let Scott be the only one making a noise in here. Are y'all listening? The inclination of rebellion. Found this interesting in our studies over the last several weeks as we try to, and most of our study is limited to the Word of God and a dictionary or word study books. That's just how we study. I do read other commentaries and have different places we go when we're interested in something and draw from a lot of wells as the Lord leads us. But Brother Mike, here's something that I found very, very interesting about this account of the Lord in Decapolis, this one specific healing miracle that is given us in detail. Most commentaries completely skip verse number 36. If they do deal with it, Brother Riley, they quickly pass it over with little or no mention of what I believe is a failure on behalf of this man Christ had done well to. Amen. I don't claim to be wiser or smarter than Matthew Henry, and I don't mean this as a rebuke, but I want to show you something. Matthew Henry, here's what Matthew Henry said about this verse number 36, and Christ charged to not tell it, and yet they told it the more a great deal. Here's what Matthew Henry said it is to be reckoned rather an act of indiscretion than an act of disobedience. That's what Matthew Henry said. Matthew Henry, I'm talking about one of the great commentary writers of church history, and I know there's a lot of things we wouldn't agree with him on. Amen. And may I say this morning, that statement is one of those things I would disagree with. Say, what do you mean? Notice they did what Christ clearly, may I say repeatedly, told them not to do. He charged them that they should tell no man. But listen, the more he charged him, he told them the first time, and he kept on telling them again and again and repeated it over and over and over. And yet they still went out and done it anyway. Right. Amen. Are you listening? I'm talking about an inclination of rebellion. That though Christ had repeatedly and clearly told them not to do, that, listen, they went out and done it anyway, revealing the rebellious inclinations in the fleshly nature of man. I don't want to be too hard on this man and these that brought him to Christ, because Brother Jeremy, there's been a lot of days I have been inclined to rebel against something Christ had told me to not do or to do.
You're right. Yes.
So, oh, not me. Well, please sign my Bible. Amen. When this service is over, please come to me. I need you to sign my Bible. There is a part, now listen, we're saved and with salvation. There is an opening into the new birth and the reception of the Spirit of God. And there is a new man, a new created man, a spiritual man that is born on the inside of us. We weren't born with that man physically. We must be born again.
Amen.
But listen, The Apostle Paul in Romans 7 talked about the great war and the great fight between the spiritual man and the fleshly man. He talked about there's things I would that I do not, things that I would not that I do. He said, I'm in a battle, I'm in a war. There are times that I'm not doing or I'm doing things that Christ has clearly told me to do or forbid me from doing.
Right. Right.
And Paul didn't gloat in that. That bothered Paul. Paul said, I need some help dealing with the inclinations of my flesh. My flesh is still ungodly. Hey, man, old Brother Benny Mitchell used to say, I thought I'd preach till about 11:45. Guess what time it is? It's 11:45 and 15 seconds after. Ain't looking good, is it? I'm going to tell you something Benny Mitchell said. Your flesh is so wicked that God gave up on it way back yonder in the Garden of Eden. There is no redemption of this flesh other than we're waiting on the glorification of these bodies that is yet to come. And until we have the blessed hope appear and the rising of the saints, I'll be with the Lord in the air where we are made in the very image in which we have been saved to pay the image of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Until that day, we are going to have to deal with our fleshly inclinations. And your flesh is not, nor will it ever be, submitted to God. If you're going to submit to God, that will come by way of the new man, the spiritual man that was placed in you when you got saved. Amen, Pastor. That's good right there. And I remind you this morning, rebellion is a serious thing. Amen. Don't misunderstand you, son preacher. We all have inclinations, and even Paul. Amen. Even Paul talked about it there, as you said. Amen. But he didn't talk about it to give us an excuse. Amen. Paul ain't giving us a crutch to lean upon. Amen. Paul said it. Amen. And by the way, it didn't end in chapter 7. Get on over in chapter number 8. Favorite chapter, Brother Larry, of the liberals and the compromisers and the fleshly livers, they want to stay in Romans 7. He didn't end Romans in chapter number 7. He got us in chapter number 8 and said, if you want victory, you can have it through the Spirit of God. Amen. So we're in this warfare. This inclination of rebellion that they would dare resist lining up with the instruction Christ had given.
Amen.
I wonder today what instructions Christ has put upon your life that you're in absolute rebellion to this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Rebellion is a serious thing in the Old Testament. When Saul had gone into rebellion, it didn't look like a major thing. He had been given instruction by God through the man of God. And there he'd been commanded not to, amen, not to take any of the stuff from Agag to himself. That he was to wait on the man of God to get there. And you know the story. How then Saul, he spared the king Agag. And he offered an offering to the Lord out of sorts and out of order and outside of the instructions God had given to him. When Samuel came to him and pointed his finger at Saul, he said, what is this thou hast done? Saul, in his rebellion, because you know what rebellion will always do? It'll turn you into a liar. Saul said, I ain't done anything. And Samuel said, well, what meaneth the bleeding of these sheep then? You say there'll always be something tell on you. Oh, I feel some preaching coming on. There'll always be something the Holy Ghost will use to expose your rebellion and expose your sin and expose what you have become. Oh yes, friend. Oh, Saul was guilty and this crowd was guilty, but I'm interested this morning. How many times have we been guilty? Just a little bit of rebellion. Let me give you some things about this. We may not make it out of point number one. Would that be okay? I've got a lot and I've got good liberty to preach. Let me say, number one, I see in this text the patience toward their rebellion. The Bible said He charged them that they should tell no man. Evidently, there is an argument that is presented to the instruction they just received. As the Bible said that He had to so much the more charge them. He had to go back and repeat it again. And they had an opposition and resistance to it, and He had to say it again. And they had another excuse as to why they could not fulfill the instructions He had given. They're constantly throwing up excuses and barriers and resisted to clear, precise instruction that Christ has given them.
Amen.
But the patience is seen in that He comes to them again. They resist and he tries to say it again. Hey man, listen, He doesn't give new instruction. He gives the same old instruction another time. It's kind of like children. Don't do that. But daddy. But daddy. Can I do it? No, the instruction is not changing. And then they come up with all these things. They think you don't know that if they can just explain it to you, somehow you'll come around and you'll give some different. You're smiling like you know exactly what I'm preaching about. They want a reason. Can I tell you, if you're not careful, and I understand and I do see the Lord being willing to be, the Lord being patiently willing to try to work through even their own stubbornness. Ain't you glad today? When that friend, that rise of rebellion rises up in us, and our Lord impatiently sit down, and He ain't going to change His instruction to fit the way you want to do things. Amen. He ain't going to, my friend, give you a shortcut. He ain't coming to your side. Amen. But I'm glad He's patient. I'm glad. And He works with us and He pleads with us. And He does His best to lead us to where we ought to be in line with Him. Glad He don't throw the clay away the first time we get marred. There wouldn't be many of us in the building today. The pastor included. I need somebody to help me now. The patience toward their rebellion. And let me say this morning, just because, amen, your life has not experienced all, amen, that is going to come your way because of rebellion, you must understand that with rebellion, there's going to be a price that you are going to pay. Just because you haven't had to pay the wages yet does not mean you're getting by with your rebellion. I'm amused, and I'm amused even about my own life. Young people who think they can rebel against the rules.
Right.
Rebel against what that book said.
Amen.
Rebel against old-fashioned godly living.
Amen.
And think, there ain't going to be no price to be paid.
Right.
I'm getting by with it. Hey, friend, wait till your chickens come home to roost. Just because the wages have not been demanded of you at this point does not mean there's not a price to pay. Don't mistake, are you listening? Don't mistake the patience of the Savior toward your rebellion as His approval upon your life.
Amen.
Somebody better write that down. Amen. Ain't it amazing? The thing, whatever your thing is, I could mention a lot of them. There's some clear-cut commands in that book about when you get saved, you're supposed to be baptized. And when you resist that, you're in rebellion to the one you say done all things well in your life. Are you listening? Say, what do I do? You fall in line with the instructions that He's given. Now He'll be patient. He'll let the church be patient. He'll let the pastor be patient. But ain't it amazing you're going to hear that over and over and over and over and over until you get in line with what He said. What about tithing? Tithing is a clear command in the Word of God. That you are to honor the Lord with the first fruits of all thine increase. It predates the time of the law of Moses, into the law of Moses, into the days of Christ. And my friend, is an eternal command that has been placed upon you and I. So I just, let me tell you, there'll be a price to pay for that rebellion. Amen. It's a clear taught instruction in the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Well, let me make some more of you, man. There's a clear taught instruction in that book that you are not to forsake the assembling of the house of God.
Amen.
We got a Sunday morning crowd. If I preach this on Sunday night or Wednesday night, I'm preaching to the choir. Amen. And then I get, well, why don't you preach that on Sunday morning? So I will. There's an instruction given to everyone who claims to be saved. Them doors are open. You're supposed to be in the house of God unless providentially hindered. Well, you know, I got a lot going on. I got this and that. And you know, I live a busy life. You ain't no busier than your man of God is. I guarantee it. Amen. Are y'all listening? That's a clear command, Brother Larry, is it not? Amen. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together.
Amen.
And this land is plagued with rebels.
Yes, sir.
Who are violating what Christ told them to do.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Let's see if we can kick the wind out of the rest of you. That book says, come out from among them. Be separate.
Right.
Saith the Lord. Saith the Lord, saith the Lord.
Amen.
And touch not the unclean thing.
Good for you. Yes, sir.
Amen.
We've got a crowd and a generation that's come up, and my friend thinks I can live any old way I want to live. That godliness doesn't matter, that holiness doesn't matter, that I can hobnob, I can keep one foot in the world, one foot in my little bit of religion. Let me tell you what you are. Let me tell you what is showing on you and shows on me too many times. An inclination to rebel.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You can word it any way you want. You can say with Matthew Henry, it's more of an indiscretion. And it is disobedience. It is flat out disobedience. If Jesus said, don't do this and you do it, it is rebellion.
Amen.
If Jesus says, do this, you won't do it and refuse to do it, you are in rebellion.
Amen.
He's patiently going to let you hear about it.
Yes, sir.
Let you hear about it. Let you hear about it. He'll put it on the man of God's heart and say, preach on it again.
Thank you, Lord.
The man of God sometimes looks at the Lord and says, Lord, I don't want to make them mad. The Lord said it ain't about making them mad or making them glad. It's about telling them what I want them to do. That they need to line up. And He patiently works in their life to give us instructions He wants us enjoined to.
Amen. Amen.
Notice not only do I see the patience toward their rebellion. Everybody okay? Notice with me the proportion of their rebellion. The proportion. It would seem that they kept giving resistance to Christ as He taught, so that it became needful to charge them more. That's what the verse is teaching. He charged them that they should tell no man. But the more He charged them, there seems, Brother Mo, to be continued resistance. Amen. I can imagine they were saying some of the things that the Lord hears in this day, and I as a pastor here in this day, about people's, they want to word it different ways. You don't want to see it as rebellion, but these kind of statements I'm getting ready to give to you, they are statements that have the tone of rebellion behind them. Maybe the Lord said, don't tell nobody. And they said, but Lord, it just doesn't make sense and I don't understand. Boy, we hear that. Everybody okay? I love you now. I'm trying to help us. Tell me where the Bible said it's got to make sense and you got to understand to be in obedience to Christ. I'm going to tell you what that's turning into. And I understand the generation we're living in. Amen. They're kind of like the Jews in Jesus' day. They required a sign.
Amen.
Always coming to the Lord saying, explain it again, Lord. Give us a sign. I read this week in my devotions, the Lord got mad at them and said, why does this generation, we'll preach about it. I think it's in the next chapter. Jesus said, why in the world does this generation require a sign? Got mad, got in a boat, and left them. Well, explain it. Explain it. I hear what you're saying. It don't make sense, and I can't understand it. You don't have to understand it to obey it.
That's right.
Amen. Their propensity, a growing of rebellion in their life, it begins with, that just don't make sense. I don't understand. Amen. Boy, we ain't squashing you this morning, are we? Some of y'all look a little peakish. Everybody okay? Everybody breathe. Amen. Here we go. Maybe they said something like this. They said first, Lord gives the command. They said, well, that just don't make sense, Lord. And the Lord just says it again. I said, don't tell no one. Okay, Lord, but Lord, others get to do what you won't let us do.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, that's a big one in our day.
Amen.
People start looking the way other people are living and the way other people get to do. Amen. In fact, there was in this same region in Gadara, there was the maniac that the Lord had healed. And he told him the exact opposite command. He told him, go and tell it. Now he's back here and Brother Larry's saying, I don't want you to say anything. But Lord, it ain't fair. Others get to do it. What does what others get to do or not do have to do with what Christ wants you to do or not do?
Amen.
Are you listening? Are you listening? There's a generation out there. Amen. And they go to church and they say they love the Lord. I'm not here to dispute that. Amen. But if you're not careful, you'll listen to them and you'll watch their lives and you'll think, well, they love God and they get to do A, B, and C and lay out of church on Sunday night and not show up on Wednesday night and their preacher don't even say nothing about it. That's because their preacher's a hireling who don't want to make nobody mad. Amen. And he's being muzzled.
That's right.
Amen. You ain't going to muzzle me.
Amen.
You ain't going to hold me hostage. I ain't trying to be big and bad. Amen. I know what God called me to do and what God called me to be. I know what He tells me to preach. Amen. And listen, we do not have the right and the liberty to use the excuse, well, others get to do it.
Amen.
Amen. My mama used to say, well, and y'all have repeated, if everybody else jumps off the bridge, are you going to jump off the bridge?
Amen.
You listening?
Amen.
Amen. Maybe they said something like this. Oh, and the Lord, after their first two resistance, it's growing now. It's growing. I'm going to show you that in a minute. The Lord says, now listen, I ain't changing what I told you. Don't tell nobody. But now, Lord, I just don't think it's all that big a deal.
Amen.
Come on now. I just don't think it's all that big a deal. You're making too big a deal about something that ain't that big a deal. Buddy, I hear it all the time.
Amen.
Them standards, it ain't that big a deal. Listening to worldly forms of music that have all sorts of promotion of sin and immorality and drunkenness and antichrist things. It ain't that big a deal. Come on now. I told you I had one coming this morning. Are y'all listening?
Yes, sir.
This ain't that big a deal. You know what that has the tones of? Raw, pure, fleshly rebellion.
Amen.
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 Right.
Amen. I love you. Do you know what's happening every time they resist the patience of the Savior toward their rebellion and they find another stronghold of resistance to what He's commanded them? You know what's happening? Here's what the Bible said. The more He charged them, so much the more a great deal.
Amen.
It was growing every time you resist instruction and you stove up. You know what? You know what's happening? The rebellion grows just a little bit thicker.
Amen.
A little bit stronger. A little bit more. Until maybe it was just a little rebellion, but before it's over, it'll turn into a great deal.
Amen.
In your life.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, I feel like I've preached today. Y'all glad I'm back?
Amen.
Welcome home. You listening?
Amen.
They were doing wrong to the one they even testified done all things well. I noted the publishing of their rebellion. I don't know if y'all can handle this. I won't preach it at you. We just throw it out, Brother Mike. Brother Ronnie, the publishing of their rebellion, the Bible said, so much the more a great deal, they published it. Are you listening? They began to publish what Christ said not to do. That word publish means to herald or to make known publicly. Here's the amazing thing about rebellion. You know where rebellion resides? What presided in their heart was published in their life. I need to say that again. What presided and is presiding in their heart was published from their life. The amazing thing about rebellion, it can be there on the inside. And on the outside, everything looks good. Looks good. It looks good. It looks good. Everybody can pat you on the little head and say, boy, you're such a good boy. Such a wonderful young lady. Such a wonderful mother or father or grandparent. But what's in there is coming out. And in our day, boy, I love how y'all look after me. I appreciate it. Amen. Sometimes I can feel it. I just don't know what to do with it. Amen. You're my hero, Jack Garrett. Ain't it amazing? Sometimes, Brother Larry, people just Just seem like the snap of a finger. They're so far from God and right and the Word of God. I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. Nobody, nobody gets in that kind of shape like that. If you're truly saved and born again, nobody goes from being right with God to just like that, out of sorts. Starts with a little bit of rebellion down in there that says, don't care what mom and dad say. Don't care what the pastor says. Don't care what the church thinks. I don't care what's in the Word of God. I don't care what the Holy Ghost is speaking to my heart about. And over time, all of those resistances that build up, the day's coming, it's going to be published. And that rebellion's coming out. And it'll be known publicly. It's better to deal with it when it's in the heart. And God sends a message like this morning. And I mentioned, what, a half a dozen things. I could preach 12 dozen more and never get to your thing. But you know what your thing is. Amen. Would be better to deal with it this morning while it's right in there and the Lord is patiently pleading with you one more service. To say, don't do me wrong. I've done all things well. You say, yes, Lord, that's right. I'll line up. You gave the miracle. I'll line up with the message. I'll live my life for your honor and your glory. That's what being a Christian's about. Amen. Well, I didn't get to point two or three. I got three of them, and I got a closing thing. We'll deal with it tonight. I've been disturbed about what to preach tonight anyway, so I feel like the Lord, maybe this is why the Lord wants us to just settle in on this thought all day long. And it won't be, well, I ain't going to tell you it ain't going to be as rough tonight as it is this morning. But do we not need it? Do we not want to do well to the one who's done us well? Don't have the mentality so many get. It just don't matter. Because it matters to the heart of your Savior. Amen. Let's stand together. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the Word of God.